Well, we weren't able to finish our lesson last week because I was long-winded, so we're going to finish it up today. And we were talking about what it's like to live as a believer and how we are supposed to think in accordance to the Word of God. The Word of God is something that should be very, very special to us. It's not just another book. It is not just something you put on the shelf. It's something we need to be in every day. The Word of God is something that is living, and it will fit any circumstance you may find yourself in. You know, God is awesome in this way. He reminds us of the Word of God. So sometimes we maybe open it up and reading it, and we may think that it's not really cementing itself in our mind, but then throughout the week, something comes up, and the Holy Spirit reminds us of that Scripture, and all of a sudden, it makes sense to us. Isn't that great when that happens? And the Lord is so loving to do that. He doesn't have to do that, but he does that for us. So not only has he saved us from the penalty of sin, but one of the tools he uses to save us from the power of sin in our daily lives is helping us remember what the Word of God says. It's very important. And so we're going to pick up where we left off last time. And we find ourselves in the Gospel of John, chapter 4. John chapter 4. And we read this last time, but we're going to read it again. If you recall, while you're turning to John chapter 4, we had mentioned the temptation of Christ and how one of the things he used for his defense was the Word of God. And it really made us realize that there's more to this physical life that is around us. You know, we look so often at physical things to nourish us, to encourage us, and to motivate us. And we look for the simple pleasures, the physical things in this life, to gain some sort of peace and joy. But we find that is the spiritual nourishment that we need. And we see another example here that Christ teaches his disciples in verse 31, John 4, verse 31. The Bible says, "In the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. But he said unto them, I have meat to eat that ye know not of. Therefore said the disciples one to another, Hath any man brought him aught to eat? Jesus saith unto them, My meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. And he that reapeth receiveth wages and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And herein is that saying true, one soweth and another reapeth. I sent you to reap that whereon ye bestowed no labor. Other men labored, and ye are entered into their labors." Now this section of Scripture has many doctrinal truths found in it. We're going to stay focused on our portion of Christian living today and staying focused on the Word of God. That is what we're going to take from this section. Now, Jesus Christ, in his teaching moment to the disciples, he said that he was not living by bread alone. Now, the reason we are using this section of Scripture is it actually connects to his temptation moment. Remember, he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights. And the challenge that Satan presented to him to take care of his hungry feelings was to turn stones into bread. But we know that we do not live by bread alone, the Bible teaches us. And we see the Lord bringing this up once again. He uses this wonderful teaching moment, and we should listen to it. The disciples want him to eat some food, and he had something else on his mind instead. Now, that's important for us to understand. He had something else on his mind over and above food. I know that's hard. But he had something on his mind. And it was to do the will of the Father. And it was to teach his disciples this valuable lesson, that they needed to have the mind of Christ. They needed to have the mind that he had and be thinking constantly about the will of the Father and what they need to do to serve him in their daily lives. So he uses this physical thing to teach them a spiritual lesson. You know, if we want to grow physically and we want to have strength, we have to eat earthly food, don't we? It's something we have to do. But Jesus was saying that we can have something else to sustain us in this life. Now, obviously, he is not saying here, do not eat. Just focus on the Word of God and never eat a piece of bread. Of course not. That is not what the Lord is saying here. What he cares about is our spiritual life. A lot of Christians fall into this trap and they think that God gives a lot of commands, a lot of do's and don'ts. Now, we know here at church, don't we, that we don't do anything to earn our salvation. But after we're saved, He does give us commandments. Let's not ignore them. He tells us how to live. He wants us to live holy lives. And sometimes Christians think, well, all these rules, all these regulations that God gives us, and it's not to maintain salvation. That's not why he gives it to us. He gives it to us because he wants us to have a sustaining, successful, joyful, and peaceful Christian life. He knows what it means to be successful over sin, does he not? He lived on this earth all those years perfect and holy, overcoming sin and going to the cross for us innocent. He knows what it takes for us to live holy. And in this case, it is understanding the will of God. It is abiding in Jesus Christ. It is maintaining an intimate relationship with him. Friends, we must maintain our fellowship with God. We must, if we want to have any joy in this world. We should look for God's will in our lives. We should look for what it is he wants. And sometimes we may question that a little bit and go, you know, I'm not sure what to even look for. I'm not sure what it is God has for me. And we've talked about this many times, but friends, it's not about looking for something to do. It's learning how to rest in Jesus Christ and live a life of faith. That is what it's about. Now, we have responsibilities in Christ, which is to share Jesus Christ with the lost and to live holy lives. That's why he saved us. He didn't just want to save us so we could spend forever with him. He also saved us so that he could use us here on this earth to get other people saved, be used as a tool. He saves them, but we are his tools. And I've said many times, I know I'm a tool. I've been told that before, right? But this is a good tool in the hands of God. He wants to use us, and Jesus wants the disciples to understand that they need to look for what the will of God is. Don't look at the physical things like the harvest happening in a few months. Don't look at that. The harvest is now. Now he's talking about two different things, isn't he? One is a physical harvest. One is a spiritual harvest. And friends, the spiritual harvest is always now. This message was not just for the disciples. There are some points of it that are. But the principle is for all of us. They had a time frame. They did, the disciples. They had a time frame to do the work that God had called them to do. But the principle that is within this is set for all of us. Today is the day of salvation, the Bible says. And we must have the will of the Father in the forefront of our mind. The Word of God must be present in our lives. It must be looked into. Earlier this week, Ethan and I had a discussion before bed one night. And it was in regards to how it is when we fill our minds with so much evil from this world, and all of our time is looking at things that are have nothing to do with God, then that manipulates our brain. It distorts our thinking. And the less and less of God we put in it, whether it's singing praises to Him, whether it's reading the Bible, whether it's praying, whether it's spending time with God's people, when those things are limited and we don't spend time in those things, then what else is filling our mind? It will be the things of the world. It'll be the things that are opposite of God. Those things will fill up our time and fill up our mind, and we then have a harder time comprehending the will of God. We must fill our minds with good things, and we have something very easy to look at in front of us, the Word of God. It is very easy to pray. It is very easy to have good fellowship with Christian brothers and sisters. That's fun. The things that God has given to us as when it comes to filling our minds with good things, that's not hard. Sometimes the hard thing is then applying that in the world, in the situations that come our way. But friends, the more time you spend in the Word, the stronger your faith will become. The Lord is also trying to teach the disciples something else here. It is not an easy thing when you're hungry to not eat, especially here in America. Now, there are places that where people don't have food, right? And that's very difficult. But here in America, go to the cupboard and open it up if you're really starving, or go to the fridge, you know. There's always a chipmunk on the bird feeder, you know. You know, you always have food available to you that we could have. But the lesson here is God is trying to teach them about endurance here as well. So it's not just keep your mind on the will of God, but it is by keeping your mind on the will of God, it will sustain you in your spiritual walk and help you endure. It will help you persevere in the situations that come your way. So when you feel hungered, when you feel stressed out, you can endure through the situation. Now, why is endurance important? Because first, let's look at the level of different levels here. You have to understand the will of God. You have to be able to then endure through the suffering for what purpose? To do that will of God in which you know it is. So you have to sustain. We need that spiritual nourishment to keep us strong in understanding what God's will is. And then we actually take the physical steps to do the work of God. And friends, the disciples were going to need some endurance. And we all need endurance in this wicked world. There's so many things that take our focus off of God. But friends, another thing, we have the Word of God that keeps us going, of course, the Holy Spirit. But when we actually do the work of God, when we actually exercise our faith, that actually makes it easier the next time, and it keeps us going. A good example of this is my fitness story. Okay? Remember, I was pretty heavy, and then I had lost a lot of weight in the last few years, right? And I was doing all good, and then COVID hit. And then I got bloated somehow. You know, I stopped going to the gym, and I'm starting to gain all that weight back. Now, this is a physical example, and this is true for every one of us. If we are to exercise and keep moving, we feel better, don't we? And we get a little bit stronger, and it helps us endure the next time that we do it. The next time we exercise, maybe we can walk a little further or lift a little more weight or last a little bit longer. Our lungs are a little bit stronger. But then what happens when you stop moving again? You start to go backwards, don't you? You start to lose strength. You start to lose the lung power, the ability to walk as far. Well, the same thing is true in our spiritual walk. There's probably been moments in our life where we're on a spiritual high. You know, we're in the Word of God, we're serving the Lord in the church, and we're doing all these things, and then we stop serving God. We stop reading the Bible as much. We stop fellowshipping with God's people, and we slowly go backwards and backwards, and then it is harder then when the situations of this life come and stand in front of us for us to endure and get through that time because we are not spiritually experienced any longer. We lose that. You might not forget how to ride a bike your entire life, but if some of you who maybe haven't ridden one in 50 years might get out and it might be a little wobbly at first, right? Maybe not as good, okay? You might not be able to get your leg up over to get on the bike, okay? So what's the remedy to this? Consistency. Consistency of exercising your faith. This is what I wish people of the church would understand today. Not just, you know, this church. I'm talking the church universal. A church is a place that is supposed to teach the truth from the Word of God. It's a place we come together and we worship Him in purity and in truth. It's a place where we can come together and encourage one another. But friends, the church is also the training ground in a lot of cases. You come here to get trained in how to deal with the world situations that come your way, how to deal with the lost if you come across a lost person and you can share Christ with them. But a lot of people will come to church and they will never serve in any capacity in the church assembly. And so you see a lot of churches that are hurting for help and for whatever, Sunday school teachers, whatever the case may be. And they think, oh man, I remember when we came to this church back in it was the early 90s. We came to this church and they were hungry for a piano player at the time. You know, we were here on a Wednesday night, I believe it was, and I think it was a prayer meeting. And it was like they found out my mom played piano and it was like a wolf's on sheep. Oh, you know, let's grab her, you know. And why? Because the church is hungry for help. The church needs it, number one, but you know what? The person needs it. The person needs it. And the church has fallen to a place where they don't want to ask for help because they feel like, you know, I don't want to pressure a person. And I want to make sure they're doing the will of God. Of course, we do. We don't want to force someone into doing something God's not calling them to do, right? So we're kind of trapped in this little bubble. But friends, the church is the training ground. And if you do not serve in some capacity in the church, it is not helpful to you. It's not helpful. It's actually more damaging to you. And sometimes there's not a lot of openings. And sometimes, you know, you don't know what to do. But I've witnessed this. This is why it's a big deal to me. I've witnessed through my life in church, people who have served for many years and then just stop serving because they're burnt out, whatever the case may be. And then they slowly fall away. Slowly fall away from the church. They don't come as often because they don't have a responsibility at the church on Sunday morning anymore. So now I can do these other things. I don't have to be in the house of the Lord. Friends, it's very damaging. You can't expect to walk away from God and then at the same time think you can understand what His will is. We have to be in fellowship with God to understand His will. Doesn't mean you can't step down from something in a church because you're tired. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying you put a check mark there and you have to do that job for the rest of your life. What I'm saying is continue serving God. And if you can't find a place in the church, then you need to find something outside of the church, a way that you can serve God in some capacity. It doesn't have to be here. It can be outside. Calling people, making people dinner, helping people with groceries, whatever. Shine the light of Christ in this lost world. But to have that endurance, you have to be in fellowship with God. It is through this abiding in Christ that we receive a power and a peace that is beyond understanding. When we do something for the Lord, we must understand that actions, and this is just true of humans in general, actions, they breed a feeling of importance in life. That's why sometimes, not everybody, but sometimes you'll see people that retire and then all of a sudden they feel like I need to do something. And so they maybe get a part-time job or end up doing something else. Because sometimes after retirement, some people have said, I just don't feel like I'm useful anymore. You know, I don't feel like I'm doing anything. Our parents, when their kids leave the house, I don't feel like I'm useful anymore. And Mom, if you feel that way, you can do my laundry, you know, for me if you want. We have these feelings, but if we continue working in the Lord, we will have this feeling of usefulness because we are being useful for the best thing ever, and that is the cause of Christ. You know, Jeremiah, he says, thy words were found, and I did eat them, and thy word was unto me the joy of rejoicing of mine heart, for I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. He looked at the word of God and he took that and he consumed it. He meditated upon it. And I wonder today if we are doing that with the word of God. And you know, Job said in Job 23:12, he said, neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. These are individuals that longed after truth, longed after nourishment from God. We need to view the Word of God as something that is very, very important. And we need to stop feasting on the things of this world. Living off the world and all its pleasures to make us happy is like putting diesel fuel in an engine that takes regular gas. It's just not good. Remember a few years ago, I wasn't paying attention to my dad's chainsaw. I put the bar oil in the gas and gas in the bar oil slot, you know, or spot, you know. Luckily, I didn't start it up. I realized it right away. But if I would have started up, it would have caused a lot more problems, right? And we need to pay attention to what we're feeding on. And we need to properly place the Word of God where it needs to be placed. God doesn't want us to run this life with earthly pleasures. And Christ is teaching the disciples this in this moment. But he is also teaching them that they're not alone. It's not just them. They're building on another foundation, you know. I'm not talking, and Christ, of course, is the main foundation, but they're building off somebody else's works. We are. There'll be people down the road building off of our works and reaping the benefits of it. That's okay. That's the way it works. And that's God's plan. And so we must do our part, because God has called us to do so. There's a big difference, and I think we all understand this. There's a big difference from being carnally minded and spiritually minded. To be carnal is to go by what you feel, what you touch, what you see, what you smell. And to be spiritual is to go by truth, what you believe in accordance to the Word of God. If you are spiritual, and the pleasures of this world went away, you would still keep going on for the Lord. Do you understand that statement? If you are abiding in Christ, if you are in close intimacy with the Lord, if the things in your life that are worldly, if they disappeared, it wouldn't bother you. You'd be like the Apostle Paul, who says, "Therefore I have learned to be content." But if we are living in the world, if we are living in the material sense, when those things go away and we're not in fellowship with God, they really, really affect us. This is why if a person, if they're just living for the money and just trying to be have a great career and try to make all the money they can, and let's say they lose their job and that was their main focus, it's like, oh. Remember the crash years ago, stock market crash, Wall Street people jumping out of windows, committing suicide. Why? Because they were not in fellowship with the Lord. That wasn't the main focus. And all of us can fall into that trap. We're not better than those people or anybody else. We're human beings. But this is why it's important for us to understand that God needs to be in the forefront of our minds. The material does not matter. It doesn't matter. We all, myself included, we struggle with that. Because material stuff does matter to us, doesn't it? But may we not put anything above God if we do it as an idol. We can keep going no matter what comes our way when we are in the Word of God and focusing on what God has for us. Let's turn to we're already in the Gospel of John, but turn to the first chapter, John chapter 1. Very popular section of Scripture. We're talking about the Word of God, but we must understand something too. What does the Word of God point every person to? It points them to Jesus Christ. We must also understand Jesus Christ is called the Word of God, and He's called it for a very important reason. And look at these verses 1 through 4. It says, "In the beginning was the Word." Who's the Word, does the Bible teach us? It's Jesus Christ. "And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made." See, all these material things that are in our life today, they're made. They all have a root. They all have a foundation, and it is in the creation of God. It could be my phone sitting here. It could be this pulpit, obviously, wood, you know. But all this came from God's creation. It is the mind of men that made all these things? No, God placed the intelligence and the capabilities in us all. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. You see, it is in Jesus Christ that life is found. It's not in what we would consider life. It's not in life itself. It is in Jesus Christ. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. Life is something that needs to be spiritual in our mind, not physical. This is why we can have hope when a loved one dies. It's because we know that our hope is found in Jesus Christ alone, and the life is only found in Jesus Christ. Not only is God as a whole the creator of physical life, he is the sustainer of spiritual life. And we know from Scripture that he upholds all things in his hands. You and I, as a creation of God, are in need of Jesus Christ. And once we are saved and become a child of his, we are still in need of his sustaining life. You see, our spiritual life, our position in Jesus Christ, that doesn't come down to us either. Be thankful for that. It is upheld in his hand. We cannot be plucked out of his hand. This is important for us to understand. If you want to have any assurance, if you want to have any hope in your life, you must understand that he not only is the creator and the giver of life, he is also the sustainer of life. He keeps us saved. He keeps us saved. Thank God for that today, because you cannot keep yourself saved. You're a human. You sin every day. I sin every day. But he sustains my spiritual life. And by him sustaining my spiritual life, that then empowers me to live a holy life, because he is always present with me. He lives within me. He reminds me of his word. He stirs himself up within me. What a great God we have. The challenge is for us is to realize that everything around us will decay and go away, but the Word of God will always stand the test of time. His Word will always be with us. He will always remind us of what it says. There is no other source of life that we can tap into. You know, it's not like this smorgasbord, or you ever go to a fast food restaurant and they have a bunch of choices of pop at the fountain there. And you can go, oh, this is my source of caffeine here, you know. It's my source of soda here. I'm going to take this one. Oh, I'm going to take this one. I'm going to take Diet Pepsi. I'm going to take Pepsi. I'm going to take Mountain Dew, you know. No, that's not what life is. There is one source of life, and there's only one place you can go for, and that is Jesus Christ. He is the source. The problem is because we live in the physical, we try to go with other things to give us life and sustain us in some way, keep us motivated. But friends, you can't. There's nowhere you can go but Christ. There's nowhere you can go for wisdom but the Word of God. Those things sustain us. I'm going to close with a series of verses. Turn in your Bibles, if you would please, to Psalm 119. I'm not going to read the whole chapter. This is the longest one in the Word of God. But I'm going to read a few of the verses here, and hopefully it will cement in our minds the importance of the Word of God. And remember that we are to live what we live by, and it's by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Psalm 119, verse 9. It says, "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word." Pretty straightforward. Verse 11. "Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee." You see, the word has this sort of power within us when we memorize it. How about verse 16? "I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word." Do you delight yourself in the Word of God today? Does it bring you pleasure? It should, because it will help you when it comes to sin in your life. Verse 17, "Deal bountifully with thy servant, that I may live and keep thy word." Here's a desire here. I want to keep thy word. Keep me going. Verse 25. My soul cleaveth unto the dust. Quicken thou me according to thy word. Verse 28. My soul melteth for heaviness. Strengthen thou me according to thy word. Verse 38. Stablish thy word unto thy servant who is devoted to thy fear. Verses 41 through 44. Let thy mercies come also unto me, O Lord, even thy salvation according to thy word. So shall I have wherewith to answer him that reproacheth me, for I trust in thy word. And take not the word of truth utterly out of my mouth, for I have hoped in thy judgments. So shall I keep thy law continually forever and ever. And our last couple, 65 and 66. Thou hast dwelt well with thy servant, O Lord, according to thy word. Teach me good judgment and knowledge, for I have believed thy commandments. And there is a bazillion verses like this. But friends, the word of God is very powerful. We cannot treat it like a normal book. It is one that helps us sustain life through the power of Jesus Christ. When we read it, it reminds us of him. And you know, the more you read it and the more you apply it, the more you delight after it, the more you desire after the truths that are found there. And you will start to go there for your nourishment. And remember this, verse 67 of 119, it says, before I was afflicted, I went astray. But now have I kept thy word. We all have a past. We all have done things wrong before. Done things opposite of what the word of God says we should do. Don't let that be your story forever. As a believer, may your testimony shine a bright light to this world that you have kept the word of God. Don't be ashamed of the word of God. We've been taught that living a holy life makes you some sort of holier-than-thou individual or some sort of fuddy-duddy. Well, friends, that's okay. That's okay. I was talking to Mark's son, Samuel, this week outside of Walmart, and he's in college, and so is Susanna. I'll be praying for them. Because they face just an onslaught of teaching that is contrary to the Word of God. And he was telling me he's taken geology, and I can't remember what the other one he said he was taking, but we had this discussion, and I told him, I said, you know, Samuel, and he knows this, I said, I'm not trying to disappoint you on the friend level, but know this. The kids you see in college and these professors, you're going to know for a very, very short time. You do not need to give in to what they say. You know what is true, you know, to the Word of God. You know, so when you're in your geology course and they start talking about millions and billions of years and all these things, you know what the Word of God says and what the Word of God teaches. And don't fall for that. It doesn't matter what they think of you. They are not going to know you forever. Don't use that as some sort of temptation. Focus on the truth that's found in the Word of God. And you know, and he agrees with that, of course. But we should be the same way. And the aspect of, we're not here on this earth forever. This earth's going to be destroyed someday, and a new earth's going to be created. You know? And we're going to be where forever? In heaven with the Lord. That's where we're going to be at. That's who we need to be concerned with, not the people around us and what they think of us, if we're a fuddy-duddy or not. What matters is what matters to God. We'll close with that. We'll have a word of prayer. We'll sing a song together, and then give us just a few moments to set up for a baptismal up here. Hope you stick around for that. So let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for the blessing of the Word of God and the blessing of yourself, which reminds us of it and teaches it to us. May we reflect upon it daily. May it be a huge part of our life. And may the church people and all the other things related to you be the biggest parts of our life. Not the things of the world, but the things of you. We thank you and love you. And in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.